Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Inspirational team of ladies. Fair play to them, says somebody else at 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Conor Pope joins us once again, but this time he's live from a phone box.
That's right, Ray. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, the reason we decided to talk to you from a phone box today is because you're writing in the Irish Times today about the new phone boxes that have been, whatever, built around Dublin. How many new ones are there?
There are 22, Ray, and I just really have to correct you. They're not phone boxes anymore. They're information kiosks.
Oh, sorry. No less. Information kiosks. And you're writing about the fact that telephone on the old telephone boxes was spelt differently to how it's spelt on the information kiosks.
Well, this is actually what inspired me to write the story, because I was just, I happened to be passing one of these new things that have popped up in Dublin City in recent times. And I was like, what the hell is that? And then they had this really peculiar, to me at least, spelling of the word telephone, because I grew up with the green and white boxes, as did you, and I'd say lots of our listeners, and it was always spelled T-E-L-E-F-O-N. That's how telephone was spelled. Yeah. But this new version of it has lots more vowels in it, and it was, I can't actually remember the spelling of it, and if I was to check it now, it would be...
It's T-E-I-L-E-A-F-O-F-O-N. That's how it's spelled.
Actually, it turns out that is the correct spelling of telephone. I thought I was kind of thinking, does that mean that the Post and Telegraph and Telecom Éireann and Aircom and Air have been lying to us about the spelling of telephone for all these years? And not really, because they spelled it the phonetic way in the 1920s when the first telephone box was put up in Dublin, and that's how they were spelled all the way through until they got rid of the green and white boxes. But these new ones actually spell it in the correct way, the way that the standardised version of Irish that is being used across the board.
Now, will you describe these information kiosks to us, please?
Yeah, well, for a start, it's not a box, which I was kind of disappointed by. So it's open on two sides, and then on two sides it's enclosed. And then there's a phone that's really low down, Ray. So I'm actually kneeling on the street here. So it's really low down, and I would imagine that's to make it wheelchair accessible. And then there's a big kind of touch screen that contains information about where you might be and where you might need to go. And then on the back of the box, there's a kind of an LED crystal display ad for something. So, I mean, in essence, they're vehicles to carry advertising, but they're also serving a function as both as kind of touchscreen information kiosks and phones. And reality is not... Sorry, go on.
Who do they think will use these? Because, like, most people have smartphones.
Well, this is the thing. The number of people using payphones has absolutely fallen off a cliff over the last decade. And, in fact, in 2008, there was around 4,000 payphones around Ireland, and today there's 403 payphones, and I'd say if we were to talk next year there might be less than 300 payphones, and the number of minutes being spoken on payphones across the entire network for a year is less than 100,000, which means less than 30 seconds per phone per day. They're really used very, very infrequently, because as you say, most people have phones.
So
they are used in emergency situations, and people who might find themselves in very vulnerable situations, who might not be able to make a call from their home, would be able to use them. So they do have a role in our society, and I wouldn't want to downplay that at all.
Yeah. So you've spoken to the people who put these in place, and what have they got to say about their hopes and their targets for these information kiosks?
Well, I mean, this is just the way the world is going. I mean, the reality is that phone boxes are going to be decommissioned.
Right.
And like you see, some of them are being repurposed. So for instance, some phone boxes are being repurposed and they're going to become charging points for electric cars.
Yeah.
There's a phone box in Stony Batter where I live and it's been turned into a defibrillator.
Yes.
So there are options for people.
And then there was a letter to the Irish Times today about another one down the country that sells fresh eggs.
A phone box selling fresh eggs?
Yes.
That's the whole, the thing is they are going to become part of what Ireland was in the rare old time.
Okay.
And, our children certainly won't be growing up with phone boxes. Like, when I was 20, like, phone boxes were pretty much the only way you could communicate with people outside of your own phone in your family home.
Yes.
So if you wanted to have a private conversation without your siblings listening to you, you had no choice but to queue up at a payphone.
With your girlfriend is what you want to say.
Your girlfriend, that's exactly what I mean.
Yes, yes.
So the other thing that struck me about this phone is, because I arrived up to the phone and realised, no change, but then I was delighted to see that they took credit cards. But you know how much it costs to make the call, Ray?
How much?
50 cents a minute.
What? How long had we got him on hold for? We had him on hold for 10 minutes. That's €5. And this chat's gone. So,
however long this lasts, so talk quickly, Ray, because it's costing me money.
Right, okay. We get to our problem today then. Connor talking to us live from a phone box. Sorry, an information kiosk in Dublin. Dear Connor, it has been brought to my attention that my credit rating has been affected by a bank I joined in 2008. In 2008, I just sat my leaving certificate and headed off to University College Cork. During the first week of third level education experience, I joined a number of clubs and societies. I also joined a bank. I cannot remember which one. There was an incentive of lodging €1 and getting something like a pizza for free. So I, along with my pals, signed the dotted lines. I was completely unaware that there was an overdraft facility on the account. I am assuming that I was charged fees for having the account active, even though I never used it, and that is how it ended up in arrears. I'm a business and accountant teacher, that's a bit ironic, and when my phone rang from my mortgage advisor to say that my credit rating had been affected by this, I genuinely could not believe it. All of my accounts are in a very good state. I sincerely hope that a mistake I made as an 18-year-old student will not affect my dreams of building a home for me and my family. I was joking there, it's quite serious, isn't it?
The first thing I say about this, Ray, is that neither us or our listener are operating with the full information that we need. Because for a start, she doesn't remember what bank it was. Now, the second point I'd make is that banks are in the business of making money, okay? And they make money by lending to good credit risks. And this listener sounds like a good credit risk to me. So I wouldn't be panicking. I wouldn't be saying it's all hopeless, okay? But what we need to find out, and what she needs to find out, and I'll be putting this in an email to her, she needs to find out exactly what's happened. Because I'll tell you what didn't happen. If she opened an account in 2008 and left it dormant, that will not have impacted her credit rating, okay? For a number of different reasons. But under the rules, banks have to report details of any loan in excess of €500 to what's known as the Central Credit Register, and that's run by the central bank. And that keeps record of all the loans that you have, all the money you've borrowed over a period of time. It wouldn't stretch all the way back to 2008, so there's nothing that would suggest that that's the problem here. So what she needs to do first and foremost is she needs to go onto the website www.centralcreditregister.ie and she needs to apply for her credit rating forms, which she will get from the central bank, okay?
Yes.
And once she has that, she will be then armed with the full facts and she will know what, if anything, is being considered a black mark against her on her credit rating.
Will you give me that email? Will you give me that website address again there? Because I'm sure.
www.centralcreditregister.ie.
Centralcreditregister.ie. Centralcreditregister.ie. Okay.
And it's very simple to make the application. You apply, and then it breaks down all of your active loans that you've been paying off, and it breaks down all past loans that you have paid off. But there's a couple of caveats here. After, because I got onto the central bank and I said, okay, what's the story with this? So it stores credit. It stores personal and credit information on loans of €500 or more. Mm. It's operated by the central bank. It gives a borrower, now the borrower would be our listener, an individual credit report detailing their agreements and their loans, all stretching back for 5 years. And then it gives lenders information stretching back 2 years. So it's incomprehensible to me that a misstep in 2008 will be having a negative impact on her credit rating. But it is a reflection that if you do something, you know, mistakes that you make can come back and haunt you years after you've made them. So it's very important that this person establishes exactly what's going on. But it's also very important, there's a facility on the site where you can add a note to a particular debt. So for instance, if she was to add a note to, if it turned out that it was a student loan that had gone awry through, you know, just through missteps or mistakes, she could add a little note to her credit rating that would reflect that fact.
Uh-huh.
And to be perfectly honest, if she's got a good credit rating, if her bank accounts are in good working order, and if she can afford to pay back the loan, I'd be amazed with a bank refusing her on the basis of, you know, a mistake that might have been made a decade ago.
Okay. Thanks for that, Connor. Connor, listen, we won't be doing interviews with you again from an information kiosk. The line isn't great. But we're intrigued to know how much this cost in total.
I'll tell you next week, Ray, as soon as I get the bill.
Oh, no, it's not clocking up in front of you, no?
No, that's the other terrifying thing. So if you were to just keep me on the phone for a long time, I could end up, it could end up costing me hundreds of euros. I do know that there's a minimum charge of 2 euros. It's 50 cents a minute, but it'll appear on my bank statement online within the next 20 minutes, I suspect.
Okay. Well, if you find out, do let us know, and I hope it doesn't affect your credit rating, Connor.
Fingers crossed.
That's Connor Pope, live from an information kiosk in Dublin City Centre. Thanks, Connor. Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.